But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Back in studio after more than 2 weeks. My goodness. Not that I wasn't on the air doing the show, but after 4 shows in Houston from the Pillow Fort, dubbed that way by Ryan for good reason, it's good to be back in our main studio, actually be able to see Ryan, who's on the other side of the double pane glass. And on such an occasion as this, where the NFL regular season is done, you guys, it's in the books. It's over. It's crazy because there's so much that we have to sink our teeth into over the course of a regular season with 18 weeks, 17 games, all of the twists and turns to get to this point where we have a tournament and a playoff schedule that stretches in front of us. And wow, did we have a doozy on Sunday night. Can't wait to talk to you about Vikings and Lions in Detroit. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, my friend Mike Golic, one of your favorite Westwood One analysts, Mike Golic Sr., by the way, will join us from Detroit because he and Ryan Radke had the call of the Vikings and Lions on Westwood One. And so Golic and I, who were colleagues years and years ago at my previous network, both gone separate ways now, always enjoy catching up with him. And every now and then we'll run across him in person at a game. And he does the Sunday night broadcast with Ryan every week on Westwood One. So we'll catch up with him in the wake of game 272. That's how many there are since the NFL expanded to 17 regular season games each. It's 272 games now in the books. And this is what we got on Sunday night. The first one ever between a pair of teams with at least 14 wins. Wow. Which means we have not just our seeds in place, our division champions all set, but we also have a supersized wild card weekend schedule, which is a lot of fun. And maybe you've seen it. If you were watching Sunday Night Football, which of course many of you were, I was actually a little surprised. I had said to my husband that one of my favorite things about working this last Sunday night of the NFL regular season is that the schedule for wild card weekend usually comes out about an hour before we hit the airwaves. But I suspect the NFL, knowing how much would be riding on this game, of course, tonight, but also how many people would be tuned in to Vikings and Lions on NBC Sunday Night Football, that for that reason, it would be a cool tease, a cool way to keep fans interested from one segment to the next, if you will. I don't know if you were watching in the first quarter when Mike Tirico said, coming up, we've got the wild card weekend schedule. So I was kind of surprised to see it revealed on Sunday Night Football. But it was, yeah, it was worth the wait. And we've got a great mix in this playoff tournament, in this particular tournament, this playoff group. And remember, roughly half the playoff field turns over every year in the NFL. So it's really neat to see teams like the Chargers back in, see teams like the Broncos back in for the first time since Peyton Manning. And the Broncos won Super Bowl 59 long years for the Broncos fan base. And a variety of coaches and coordinators and quarterbacks, and nearly half of the team turning over, and then the other half of the team turning over kind of piece by piece, both offense and defense. So the Broncos are back in. We know that the Washington Commanders had not been in since 2020 when they won the NFC East. Of course, they're in and set to play on primetime next Sunday night. So here's the schedule. As we know, it's supersized wildcard weekend. On Saturday, we get the Chargers and the Texans. And you want to hear something really funny? Actually, Ryan, I didn't know this. I'm not sure if you saw it on social. It was making the rounds. In their history, the Houston Texans, every single wild card weekend game they've ever played has been Saturday at 3:30 Central Time.
I think I saw this. It was 10 times now, right?
Yeah. They keep, I guess it's like death and taxes. They keep getting stuck there. And that's a weird way to put it, because I think Saturday afternoon is a great time to play a football game. They will host the Chargers. But yes, this is their slot. Every single year they've made the playoffs, whether it was Bill O'Brien, now obviously with D'Amico Ryans. Back-to-back years they've won the AFC South. And yet again, here they are, 3:30 Central Time on Saturday, kicking off the postseason.
It's like the Lions on Thanksgiving and the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
Right,
it's
okay.
Texans on wild card Saturday.
That's right. And always in that earlier window. So Chargers and Texans start off the playoffs. That's a CBS game, also on Paramount Plus, followed by another rivalry game between the Steelers and the Ravens. So we know the AFC North was settled on Saturday. Steelers will go back to the Ravens in Baltimore. And my niece was at the Ravens game a couple of weeks ago against the Steelers that was also there in Baltimore. And it was so bitterly cold. Her longtime boyfriend's a Steelers fan. They were all excited. They got tickets to the game. They were three rows from the top of the stadium, but about midfield. She said the view was great, but she was miserable despite, I don't know, four layers of clothing, thermals and all that jazz. She said it was so cold that it was miserable. But Steelers and Ravens, that type of a game in the postseason, it just got a little extra, extra. Then maybe add some cold into the equation as well. So those are your Saturday games in Houston and Baltimore. And by the way, that Saturday night game, first one ever of the playoff variety that will air on Prime. So Amazon Prime. And these two games come at 3:30 Central and then 8 o'clock local time in Baltimore. Moving on to Sunday, it's a triple header. We've got the Broncos at the Bills. So the Bills, the 2 seed in the AFC. That's your first game from Orchard Park, New York at 1 o'clock Eastern time. Then, staying in the Eastern time zone, it's the Packers and the Eagles. And this is tough for Green Bay. They end up as the 7 seed after dropping back-to-back games to wrap the regular season. Here's Green Bay, who for a good portion of the season was nipping at the heels of the Lions and the Vikings in the North Division. Obviously clinched the postseason a couple of weeks ago. So that's great, but to have to hit the road because you drop back-to-back games, including a loss to the Bears on Sunday at the Wire, Green Bay does itself no favor. So that's the game we knew, the matchup that we knew the earliest on Sunday. Packers and Eagles, second consecutive year in which Green Bay will take on an NFC East opponent, the NFC East Division champion. Remember what they did against the Cowboys last year at AT&T Stadium, but that was when Jordan Love and the Packers were playing exceptional. They'd had a terrific second half. He put up MVP-like numbers in the second half, only to see them torch the Cowboys at AT&T. Well, they're not going to catch anybody by surprise. And Philadelphia, well, it's a different defense this year. And boy, can they play the ball control game there in Philly. Now, Tanner McKee has started today and also played last week. Jalen Hurts has been in concussion protocol. They didn't start a lot of their guys like Saquon Barkley. So this, you know, this Philadelphia Eagles team got their bye, if you will. They got their break. And so they'll be ready for Green Bay as the 2 seed in the NFC. So you've got back-to-back 2 seeds hosting games on Sunday, and then that's followed by the Commanders on the road at Tampa Bay. What a triumphant regular season finale for the Buccaneers and for Mike Evans. We'll talk about it. That game will be on NBC on Sunday night, similar to what we just watched with the Lions and the Vikings. And then finally, on Monday night, because this is a thing now, the Vikings will travel to L.A. They'll leave the cold of Minneapolis and maybe the snow of Minneapolis and will take on the Rams out of the NFC West. So this is your 4-5 matchup in the NFC. And it's pretty crazy to think about a 14-3 team that ends up as a wild card and has to hit the road. Best record for a wild card team ever. Since the NFL expanded to include wild cards. So Vikings at Rams will wrap up. So if you've been following along at home with the college football playoff, you've got Thursday, Friday semifinals, the national semifinals in the playoffs. So they're down to the final four. Then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, NFL, 5 consecutive days or and nights of can't miss football. By the time we get to next Monday, I'm going to want to poke a fork in my eye. I mean, it'll be great. Don't get me wrong. It's just that you have to be attached to the TV. And I promise you, that Saturday into the Sunday, where it feels like you barely have time to sleep, much less eat or shower, that feels like a lot. So Supersize Wildcard Weekend, it challenges me in many ways. I know it'll be challenging for a lot of you fans, too. It's the thrill of victory. It's the agony of defeat. And this is where it gets really good. So that's the schedule for Wildcard Weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So glad to connect with you on this weekend, which is so significant for me as a host. If you haven't seen my post on social at A-Law Radio or on our Facebook page, you can check it out. And then maybe I'll talk about it a little bit later on. But right now, it's about the NFL and the playoffs and what's to come in mere days. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. If you want to weigh in on what we saw on Sunday night or at any point during week 18 and also about the playoff schedule, we are glad to connect with you. Again, Mike Golic will join us at the bottom of the hour, fresh off Sunday Night Football. So why don't we get down to some business? Vikings and Lions, game number 272. I just like to say it because it's pretty crazy that after all of the hours in which we've immersed ourselves in football, we're finally done with the regular season. And this was a defensive battle early on. I really enjoyed watching it, actually. I loved what we saw from both the Lions and the Vikings. And also knowing the personality of Dan Campbell and what they're going to do when they have the ball in their hands. They were able to convert a 4th and 5 late in the first quarter. And the very next handoff would be the theme for the game. So think defensive stalemate early. But when the opportunities presented themselves to the Detroit Lions, they were able to do damage because they had the ball in the hands of their bell cow.
They give it to Jameer. Big hole. There he goes down the 20-yard line. Angle at the 15. Gone, baby. 5. End zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. 25 yards. How about the work from the big man up front?
Oh, over and over again, the offensive line. That's the great Dan Miller on Lions Radio. So a 25-yard touchdown as Gibbs goes bursting through the hole in the line, virtually untouched for a 7-0 lead. And again, it includes the 4th and 5 that comes late in the first quarter. That next Minnesota drive then begins with a sack of Sam Darnold and a 17-yard loss. Za'Darius Smith all up in his grill. There are a lot of Lions that were up in the grill of Sam Darnold. He was facing extensive pressure throughout this game. But the Minnesota defense responds, forces a 3-and-out on what is a smothering sequence. I took a couple notes about it because it really stood out to me. Andrew Van Ginkle, who, man, he's a game changer. We know this. He has a tackle for loss. And then Jonathan Grenard ends up with a sack. And so you've got the defense responding. And did you guys notice? It was right at the beginning of the second quarter, minutes after we saw the interview on the field with Kevin O'Connell, in which he said, "We've had some opportunities. We haven't quite been able to move the ball into the red zone, but our defense is going to force a 3-and-out." That's exactly what the defense did right after he did that interview at the quarter break. So Minnesota then takes the ball and gets to the 5, but cannot connect on multiple TD passing attempts, right? So balls that are going into the end zone, unable to come up with that moment that would silence a crowd, unable to come up with that connection that will get them on the board and stop some of the momentum that they had, well, I guess continue the momentum they had grabbed with the defensive stop. But over and over, this is what we saw, is the Detroit defense standing up against Sam Darnold and a litany of weapons for the Vikings. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 4 snaps inside the red zone on that trip. Nada. Okay, so then the Vikings defense accommodates again, picking off Jared Goff. This is a tipped ball that gets stolen away, or I guess secured by Ivan Pace. And Minnesota right away in the red zone. You would think, if at first you don't succeed, try again. All right, 3 more snaps from inside the 7. a drop by Justin Jefferson on the back of the back line of the end zone. It would have been a really difficult catch, but one that we've seen Jefferson make. Would have been a highlight reel touchdown, but that is what Jefferson is capable of. So he drops that one. Very next snap, what happens? He gets wide open in the corner of the end zone. His defense got caught up, made a mistake, and Justin Jefferson didn't have a dude within 6 feet of him. And Sam Darnold airmails the ball over his head. So they had multiple opportunities to put a touchdown on the board that second trip inside the red zone. Instead, this time Kevin O'Connell goes for the field goal, and they're on the board, but still trailing 10-6 at the half. All right, so then we go early in the third quarter. As I say, it became a theme. Fourth empty trip to the red zone to start the third quarter for the Minnesota Vikings. Another fourth down attempt in which they are stonewalled at the line. The Detroit defense was not playing. And this is impressive considering the number of injuries that defense has lost, but also a number of injuries that defense has incurred, but also the fact that they've been giving up a lot of points in the last month. They certainly can put up points offensively, but the defense had been pretty beleaguered over the last month. However, the Minnesota Vikings defense kept them in this game as long as they possibly could. Another interception off of Jared Goff, and this time it's Harrison Smith, who's deep down the middle and lays out backward for the interception. I just did it, which is why I backed away from the microphone. And so, yeah, it was cool to see how many times the Minnesota Vikings defense would respond to the challenge. This gives the Vikes a short field on offense. But what do? Settle for a 51-yard field goal. So the Vikes are within 10-9. But you had to know at some point that this was going to be impossible to maintain. Why? Because the Lions offense has too many weapons and the offensive line is too good, and it was only a matter of time until they were going to break this open.
Play clock down to four. Goff gets the snap. Back to throw again. Fires over the middle. Caught! That's going to be a touchdown! He found Jahmyr Gibbs right in between the hash marks for a touchdown. Second touchdown tonight for Gibbs. And with 2:30 to go in the third quarter, it's the Lions 16, the Vikings 9. High formation behind Goff, single receiver split wide left. Here's the snap, handoff Gibbs, bouncing it outside the left hash. Gibbs inside the 10, down to the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown Lions. Gibbs has done it again. It's his third touchdown of the night. This one from 13 yards out.
It was impressive. That's one word for it. It was one of those games, not just for Jahmyr Gibbs, that gave him 20 total touchdowns on the season, but one of those games for the offensive line where that group was just flexing its muscles. I heard this as part of the Westwood One broadcast, actually, that late in the game, there was a rookie who came in and spelled one of the guys on the line. It was the only time this season, and this is the only team in the NFL in which this is the case, when a rookie had taken a snap on offense for the Lions. That was it. So that Lions offense is built with veterans. It's built on cohesion. These guys have stayed healthy, other than David Montgomery, of course, who they've lost, but they've got a full complement of weapons around Jared Goff. He routinely will complete a bunch of passes in a row because he's got time. Now, he saw more pressure in this game from the Vikings defense than he's seen in most games this season, and yet ultimately, because of the number of ways they can hurt you, they finally were able to open up the passing game in the second half. Sam Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, and over again, Jahmyr Gibbs was the closer.
Goff gets the snap. Hand off Gibbs, running left, cuts it up, lowers his shoulder, powering his way to the one, gets a shove. He's into the end zone. Touchdown Lions. Fourth touchdown the night for Jahmyr Gibbs. This one from 3 yards out.
He ends up with 4 scores and 7 years ago. No, just 4 scores. 170 total yards from scrimmage. His 20 touchdowns tie the Lions record for a single game. And whether it was Minnesota missing field goals, going 0-for-4 in the red zone, just not taking advantage of their opportunities, this turns into a blowout. So inside the Lions locker room we go with a Dan Campbell as his team is not just celebrating the NFC North crown, but the top seed for the first time in franchise history.
That's a hell of a win, guys. All I can think about is, man, we've been forcing this stuff now. This has been 3 years in the making. Some of it four. Like, that just doesn't happen. You got to work through it, grind through it, and go through the downs to get to the ups of where we're at. That was unbelievable, man. Division winners, back-to-back seasons, and the number one seed.
I love it. I love his locker room speeches. They become a bit legendary, even though it's just been a few seasons for him there. But after falling short in the NFC Championship a year ago, not making the Super Bowl for the first time in their history, here are the Lions who have upped the ante, if you will. They are now the top seed in the NFC. And boy, do they need this week off. And the hope is that some of their defenders, some of their injured will get healthy and be on the field again, including potentially David Montgomery, who left kind of a cryptic message when he was doing his sideline interview. So really excited about this game, but also I feel as though it sets an incredible tone for what's to come in the bulk of January on into February. How about this? Super Bowl is exactly 5 weeks from tonight. We've got 5 weeks. All gas, no brakes, baby. At A-Law Radio to find me online. Also on our Facebook page. Coming up, we'll get some reaction from Jared Goff as well as from Sam Darnold, who had an off night, and the Vikings, who settle for the 5 seed as the top wild card. Hope you had a great weekend. Happy New Year to you again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Gets the snap, back to pass, looking right, looking middle, backpedaling, throws for the end zone, incomplete, over the head of Jefferson, and the Vikings turn it over on downs. Darnold had time to survey the field, tried to find Jefferson late, the ball went over his head, and the Lions will take over at their own 3-yard line. Darnold gets the snap, back to pass, looking right, looking middle, moving to his left, steps up in the pocket, now rolling right, throws to the end zone, incomplete, and the Lions turn the Vikings away again. Addison was the intended receiver, Terrion Arnold was in coverage, and the Lions will take over.
I can't say enough good things about what they did tonight. I mean, it's unbelievable. Again, everyone keeps writing out how injured they are and depleted, and they don't care. It's next man up, and played their absolute tails off today, and that's a damn good offense they just played, and no touchdowns, right? I believe, yeah, unbelievable.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jared Goff raving about the Lions defense giving up fewer than 300 yards, and as he points out, no touchdowns. You hear the calls there, the defensive stops inside the red zone. Amazing. Time and time again, the Vikings get stonewalled. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Mike Golic, the partner to Ryan Radke on Westwood One, and he will join us following the update right here on the Infinity Sports Network. So the Lions end up as the one seed. They capture the NFC North title. Jared Goff, 27-33. Yeah, only misses on 6 pass attempts. Now, he did have a couple of interceptions, also has a TD in there, and helps this offense break out in the second half.
Feels pretty good. Yeah, you never know how it's going to play out as the season goes on, but when it comes down to week 18 for all the marbles in the division, it feels good to be on this side of it and to know we get a little bit of rest here now and 2 home games, and then we'll go from there.
Our players will show up and make plays, and because the core of this group has been doing it for 4 years now, and we've added to that, and those guys have just continued to add to it and help us along the way and enhance us, and they did it again, man. Our guys did it again.
The biggest thing for Detroit was, again, stopping the Vikings when they got up close. On the flip side, though, Kevin O'Connell's crew goes 0-for-4 inside the red zone and could not get the big play when they needed it.
We had some opportunities, and then some other times, they did some good things, you know, in man coverage and got us off our, you know, first or second reads and, just didn't put the ball in the end zone.
Disappointing game. Felt like we just, you know, for me personally, didn't hit the throws that I should hit in the red zone, especially early on. Didn't execute the way that we wanted to.
Sam Darnold with a really off night. It was stark when you watched it, a lot of overthrows, but also the numbers underscore 18 of 41, just 166 passing yards. But this was a team effort, right? They got a few runs from a Cam Akers and from an Aaron Jones, couple plays here or there, but a bunch of guys that were unable to make that big play. And so here they are finishing up 14-3, and we'll take on the LA Rams wildcard weekend.
We've done a lot of really, really good things. This has been a phenomenal football year for our team, and that locker room is already ready to go. Guys are ready to respond, and we'll get ready to go for a huge opportunity coming up on Monday night, going on the road.
Yeah, no doubt. Love the atmosphere in Detroit. Pretty cool that you'll see the Lions fans have the chance to host one game, maybe even the NFC Championship, though that is not in, it's not written in stone, right? And how about this? If the Vikings take care of business against the Rams and win on the road, they would end up right back in Detroit. Coming up, we'll talk to Mike Golic, who along with Ryan Radke called this game for Westwood One from Ford Field. What an atmosphere. What a performance by the Lions to put an exclamation point on their historic season. First time ever as the top seed in the NFC. Our phone number, 855-212-4227 at A-Law Radio. Love to connect with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Sam Darnold lines up under center. Darnold will drop down to a knee, and that's it. The Detroit Lions have won the NFC North. They are the top seed in the NFC playoffs for the first time in Lions history. A dominating win for the Lions to close the regular season. Detroit 31, Minnesota 9.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Along with Ryan Radke, Mike Golic calling this final Sunday night regular season game between the Lions and the Vikings in raucous Detroit. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Glad to have you with us. Hope you enjoyed the first weekend of the new year. What? How is it 2025? Right now, we welcome Mike Golic after this broadcast, having an opportunity to take a deep breath and think about the playoffs, too, with the Super Bowl 5 weeks from tonight. Mike, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. Why is it important for Detroit to have the one seed for the first time?
Well, I mean, this was the most beat-up team in football. There's mass units every year. The 49ers were certainly a mass unit, but Detroit had more defensive players on IR than any other team. You know, you're looking to get a David Montgomery back. Terrion Arnold, the cornerback, hurt his ankle tonight. Kevin Zeitler hurt his hamstring tonight. So getting an extra week, I think, you know, a player or a team can justify having an extra week or not by saying, oh, we have momentum if we didn't get the extra week, or, hey, we need the extra week. Detroit really needed the extra week. Out of all the teams getting the extra week, they were the ones that really needed to get more rest out of players.
I heard you and Ryan lauding the atmosphere there in Detroit and the fans, of course, who've waited so long for this. They trot out an A-list of celebrities tonight and lots of roars from the crowd. So what was it like to be in the building as they take another step toward history?
It was unbelievably loud. It was as loud as we have ever heard that stadium. And even with Minnesota, you know, the team trying to buy up 1,900 tickets for $2 million to sell to their patrons and put behind their bench, they were trying to grow the purple crowd there. but the Detroit crowd was just so loud. And I think there were two or three Minnesota delay a game. So they were very effective in their cheering, that's for sure.
There were a couple of important fours in this game. So Jahmyr Gibbs goes for the four touchdowns, but also 0-for-4 in the red zone for the Vikings. And they had so many snaps from inside the five, could not get into the end zone. What stands out about their failed attempts deep down inside?
Well, that was amazing. And they were deep in the red zone. You're talking like the 5-4 yard line. And two times they go on downs and two times they end up kicking field goals. Of the four sides of the ball, the Viking offense, defense, Detroit offense, defense. The Detroit defense stood out the most because the Detroit defense was the most maligned. From weeks 14 to 17, they'd given up 32 points a game, 428 yards a game, 321 passing yards a game. They had just not been good the last few weeks. And they absolutely stepped up tonight. Pressure on Sam Darnold with four. Timely blitzes, not letting the Minnesota receivers get yards after the catch. They were really fired up and played well.
If you are a defense that has to try to slow down and contain Jahmyr Gibbs, Mike, how do you do it?
And it's not just Jahmyr Gibbs. The offensive line is phenomenal. It's just leaning on the defense. Laporta and Brock Wright are excellent blocking tight ends. They have the line and the tight ends to lean enough on the defense for Gibbs to be able to find a hole. And listen, he's been used to split time all year with Montgomery.
Right.
Two games ago, he had 25 touches. Last game, 25 touches. Tonight, he had 28 touches. So he has kind of morphed into the running back carrying the load with no problem. Four touchdowns. I mean, it was incredible.
And it was pretty impressive the number of times that he got through the line untouched.
Well, yeah, he actually leads the league in yards before contact and yards after contact. They're over 2.5 each. And he started the game. His first six carries, he had 1 yard. And he ends up with 23 carries for 139 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, again, it's a credit to him, but it's such a credit to that offensive line and tight end as well.
We're excited to have Mike Golic with us on Sunday night after the NFL wraps its regular season. 272 games ends with the Lions and the Vikings on Westwood One, and he called it with Ryan Radke. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, can you remember back to your playing days, Mike, what it was like when the season was done after all of those games? 272, what physically and mentally, what does that feel like?
Well, it's amazing because there are some teams that were still playing in it, but for the most part, teams knew they were out of it. So quite honestly, you're playing to put good play on video and not get hurt. So you're not rehabbing in the offseason. For a team like Atlanta, they were playing to still play the following weeks. And then as soon as Tampa Bay wins and they go to overtime, they know they're out of it. You go from thinking you have a chance to make the playoffs to cleaning out your locker tomorrow.
Mm.
I mean, it can be that quick. And I mean, you know, when the next day you're cleaning out your locker, the team won't be the same next year. Will you be on the team next year? Will you be somewhere else? For the teams that are in the playoffs, it's business as usual. You know, whether you get the week off or not, you start preparing for your next opponent. You go in, you work out, you have meetings, you watch tape. It's kind of, like I said, business as usual. But if not, you know, you start your off season, and every player of the 53 on the active roster is in a different situation.
What would you rather have, Mike, a trip to the playoffs, knowing that you've got that when the regular season wraps up, or a $6 million incentives bonus?
Oh, man. I mean, listen, at being a team sport, I'd rather go. My wife would rather me have the $6 million bonus, for sure. That's a lot. I mean, that's amazing. But listen, making the playoffs and making the Super Bowl is the name of the game.
We've got ways to go, but just for fun, imagining what it would be like to have either the Lions or Vikings in the Super Bowl from the NFC and the Bills with teams that have never won it before. Wow.
Oh, especially Minnesota and Buffalo, both losing four and knowing one of them's going to get off to Schneid. I mean, that would be something that you'd get a first timer. Same, obviously, if Detroit made it. But listen, all three are certainly capable of being there and winning, no doubt about it. It's a pretty wide open field.
Got a couple of teams that are back in after what have been extensive droughts, like the Denver Broncos haven't been there since Super Bowl 50. The Washington Commanders, they end a drought as well. So we've got the schedule. What's a game that jumps out at you immediately?
I was talking about this at the end of the game. I look at the two seeds, Philadelphia and Green Bay and Buffalo and Denver, because two seeds you have to play. You don't get that bye. Philadelphia and Buffalo could easily make and win the Super Bowl, yet they have an extra game. You just don't want to slip up. You don't want to take it for granted. You're in the playoffs. You shouldn't, but it's just get out of that first game and stay in your rhythm.
Mm. While we're talking about new entrants into the playoffs, of course, the Chargers are back too. And so I wanted to ask you, I'm sure Jim Harbaugh's in that conversation, who would be your coach of the year at this point, Mike?
You know, even though they lost tonight, Kevin O'Connell has to be right up there, right? Even though that they're the fifth seed, 14-3 is a hell of a record with, you know, Sam Darnold had a monster year, didn't have a great night, but had a monster year, and finishing 14-3 is just an absolute, I don't think any pundits, I know I didn't pick them to go 14-3, let alone make the playoffs. So,
Mike.
Okay. Oh, I was just under a bridge.
Nice.
Yeah. Just under a bridge.
So you mentioned Kevin. We got most of that answer. If you have a vote for NFL MVP, now that the regular season's wrapped up, which way are you going?
I would go Lamar Jackson. I mean, I know everybody says it's between Lamar and Josh, and I don't want to hear the argument that Lamar has a couple, so give it to Josh. That's a ridiculous argument.
That is.
I think Lamar should get his third MVP. He's just had an unbelievable year.
Mike Golic is with us from Detroit now that he's out from underneath the bridge. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. A team like Pittsburgh that really has played poorly getting into the postseason, they go on the road at a division rival. These two teams that know each other really well. What do you think about that Saturday night game?
And that's the game Ryan and I are actually calling. I just think Baltimore's offense is obviously good. The defense had given up a lot of passing yards throughout the year, but had been playing better. It's just a matter of Pittsburgh can score with them. That's the whole thing. How many points can they put up? Because their defense is tough and their running game is good, but can they match score for score on Baltimore? I think that's going to be the important thing for Pittsburgh.
My niece lives right next door to that stadium in downtown Baltimore, and she went to one of the last regular season games. I think it was week 16 where it was super cold. I know you play in some cold weather, but are you prepared for what could be bitter cold?
It's horrible, but I feel as a former D lineman, I have to have the attitude like I don't wear a winter coat. Now, I won't go sleeveless. I won't go that far. Like I did when I played, which was really stupid. You know, you thought you had to be tough when you didn't think playing in the NFL was tough enough.
Mm.
I wouldn't wear sleeves. I'll wear sleeves, but I won't wear a winter jacket or anything like that. Now, I'll try and be tough.
Mike, from a player's perspective, when you have a coach that gets fired after 1 year, like what we're seeing with the New England Patriots, this is coming on the heels of Belichick being planted there for 20 seasons in New England. What's the reaction when that happens?
I'm stunned. I mean, obviously, everybody's looking at Mike Vrabel, but I'm somewhat amazed. When you do that for 1 year, and now you have to change the whole thing from head coach to assistant coach to systems offensively and defensively. It's so difficult. And I know the commissioner had been talking from the side of the NFL of owners being careful of having to pay too many coaches. You know, how many years, you know, does Gerard Mayo have left that they're going to have to pay him? Now they're going to be paying a couple of coaches. It just gets to be a tough situation.
We seemingly have 7-8 coaches that get fired, coaches that get fired every year. At what point does it just become ridiculous?
Well, I think it does because, again, I mean, you don't get any continuity at all. And as I said, you're not just changing a head coach. You're changing coordinators. You're changing assistant coaches. You're changing philosophies. You're changing culture. Then with new free agents, I mean, there's just so much change. It's tough to build on anything. I'm off the top of my head, I'm trying to think of the last coaches that a team did well when they just change a coach.
Mm.
You know, there's got to be some continuity unless a coach just completely loses the locker room, you know, where it's just horrible to go to work and it's just not meshing. I don't understand, especially after a year, of how you don't let it kind of marinate a little bit.
You would think the league, some of the owners had learned from the Carolina experiment after all of the coaching changes.
How about it?
Mike, before we let you go, big Notre Dame guy, of course, and the Irish are into the Final Four of this expanded college football playoff. What does Notre Dame have to do to beat Penn State and get to the championship game?
Do what they've been doing, run the ball well and play great defense. The one thing that I wonder about, the passing game, if Notre Dame gets behind in the game, because they haven't really been behind in the game outside of Northern Illinois. They haven't really been behind. So what happens if they get behind and have to throw themselves back into a game? I'm hoping they don't get in that situation, but that's still kind of a question mark. If they have to pass themselves into a game, how they'll do. But they've been running the ball so well. The defense is fantastic. So I see a low-scoring, hard-fought game with Penn State.
That's coming up on Thursday night. So is 12 teams enough for college football, Mike?
Yeah, I know in 26 they're talking about going to 14, but I'm glad they expanded to 12. They need to tweak it a little bit. They need to not have the conference champs have an automatic bye. You can just rank them in the top 12 and just have a final top 12 ranking and seed them that way. I think because when there was a 14 playoff, Amy, remember the four, it wasn't long ago, obviously, a 14 playoff, three bowls were involved, two in the semis and one in the championship game. I think the first round in the 12 teams should be home field, and I think second round, the teams that got a bye should have home field as well. And then you have semis and finals, and you have three bowl games involved, just like you do with a four-team playoff. Because I do think the teams that get the bye deserve to have a home game as well.
Fresh off of Westwood One's call of this big game in Detroit where the Lions grab the one seed Mike Golick alongside Ryan Radke. They'll have the game on Saturday night between Baltimore and Pittsburgh. And are you waking up in a few hours to do your show with your son?
Yes, I am. I'll go get a few hours of sleep, and then we'll get up and we'll talk football for a couple hours.
DraftKingsNetwork.com. Happy New Year to you and your family, Mike. Great to have you on the show again.
You too, Amy. Thanks.
Just a smidgen of what's to come. Can't cover everything, but a little bit of the playoff bracket ahead for Wildcard Weekend. It's supersized, and it takes all of you. Okay, it takes all of me. I won't speak for you. But the Lions are off next weekend, as are those Kansas City Chiefs attempting to win a third consecutive Super Bowl. So you've got Eagles as the 2 seed in the NFC, Bucks as the 3, Rams as the 4, Vikings, Commanders, Packers as the 5, 6, and 7 seeds. Those, of course, are your wild cards. And we've got our schedule for this upcoming weekend. It begins with Chargers and Texans on Saturday, followed by Ravens and Steelers in Baltimore. Then the triple header on Sunday in Buffalo, Philadelphia, and Tampa. And then finally the Rams hosting the Vikings. So they get an extra day to prepare for what's to come in their first playoff game after finishing 14-3. I suppose there's some solace in that, though they are the best record ever to end up as a wild card. What a year for the NFC North. All right, 1 hour down. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.